Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Bob Murray, the chief economist for Dodge Data and Analytics. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
It's great to be with you. You've published your outlook this year. It's called the 2016 Dodge Construction Outlook. You published it in October. I wanted to talk about that. Just give our listeners a little bit of a background on you. You have quite impressive credentials, graduate of Princeton and Columbia, and you've been doing this same basic role for about 25 years, haven't you?
Since 1992. So, yeah, it's coming up shortly on 25 years.
Yeah. And it looks like for 16, I was impressed to see this when you said that you're calling for a strong year in 16 for construction spending, right?
Well, and again, this would be, you know, construction start. We're looking for the expansion that's been underway for some time now to really see another year of growth in 2016. I think kind of the key element is that when you look at our data, you know, it's been subject to some swings, and non-residential building overall did show some flatness this year, although a large share of it had to do with a pullback in terms of manufacturing plant construction. We also saw a little bit of weakness on the commercial building side, but I think overall we view this more as a pause as opposed to a situation where the expansion has seen its better days. I mean, the bottom line in terms of the overall construction market right now is that market fundamentals in terms of propelling further growth for the commercial building sector and also for the institutional building sector remain supportive, and we should be seeing increased activity for a wide range of building types.
Yeah, one of the things you do in this, if you really get into some of the copy that you write, you know, you can imagine my listeners are more interested in the type of construction that's going to have a floor covering installed on it. So we're talking commercial buildings, we're talking about single family starts, multifamily starts, because we know the flooring business is about one-third commercial, two-thirds residential. So as we look at that, I'm just really intrigued. I mean, overall, you're looking for a 6% growth to about $712 billion. But you go in right after that on page two of your report and talk about single-family housing. You're calling for a growth of 17% in units to around 805,000. Multifamily, growth of 5% in units to 480,000. So you add those together, that's a housing starts number of 1.2. That's up there in that healthy range. And then commercial building, you're calling for it to go to 11% from a 4% gain this year, right?
That is correct. And those are the dollar amounts of those individual project types. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the key for single family housing is that, you know, we've been waiting for the single family recovery to take hold. And there have been a variety of reasons why it's been stumbling. But, you know, we have seen hesitant upward movement in 2015 after essentially flat activity a year ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though there might be some slight increases in long-term interest rates, we view that there's going to be more, I guess, greater demand for single-family housing going into 2016 from a variety of sources. Mm-hmm. And part of that is related to the fact that I think banks have been easing ever so slightly lending standards for home buyers. I guess the big question, though, for single-family housing would be, are the millennials going to begin to move towards purchasing single-family homes as opposed to preferring to stay in apartments in downtown markets?
Well, I think the people in the apartment business are doing us a favor if you're in favor of growth in single-family, because they're raising the rent faster than the income growth and the inflation rate. So I just interviewed actually recently a builder in Arizona, and he's building a new type of home for the millennial. And he says, yeah, they're starting to buy homes. So that's, of course, anecdotal and in one market. One of the things that's held back single family has been the labor. I mean, when this last recession came, a lot of the labor that, you know, framers, construction workers, they either left the country or went into something else. So I believe there's been an issue also with builders getting the type of labor it takes to build a home.
There's no question that labor shortages are a constraint mm-hmm. in a number of markets around the nation. I mean, that being said, we're still talking about the single-family market at a pretty low level historically. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm certain that if demand does improve in terms of the need for single-family housing, that, you know, being able to get the labor to, I guess, participate in a construction upturn, I don't view it as that much of an impediment. I think it's more of an impediment when we're talking about the non-residential building sector as opposed to housing. But I think one of the remarkable elements of this current expansion, when you look at housing, it has been led to this point by the multifamily side of the market, and we're still seeing very low vacancy rates, and we're still seeing some good rent increases, as you alluded to.
Right.
By our estimates, that should allow for at least as much multifamily housing in 2016 as what took place in 2015. Kind of the key for us, though, is that part of the big increase that we have for multifamily housing was related to substantial levels of building in the New York City metro area. And what multifamily housing really has to see now is a broadening of its activity on a geographic basis, and we think that is taking place.
Well, another part of my audience is in the commercial contracting business. They're the subcontractors that put flooring in. And as we look at the commercial building sector, which you're calling for an 11% increase on spending starts, how does that break out from a sector perspective?
I think, you know, this year has been a bit of a disappointment in that last year, in terms of overall commercial building, in terms of the dollars of new construction starts, we had a 21% increase.
Mm-hmm.
This year, that rate of increase has dropped back, and maybe somewhat optimistically, we're looking at a 4% gain to take place in 2015. You know, sometimes upward trends are not perfectly smooth, and they have a tendency to sort of fluctuate a bit. And I think there has been some hesitation this year in terms of investment plans by major developers. But that being said, I think when you look at certain elements of the commercial building market, hotel construction has continued to be quite strong this year. And what we're looking at for hotels, in terms of the dollar increase, is a 22% jump in 2015, and we're looking at about a 6% gain next year for hotels in dollar terms. Kind of the category that was a little bit of a surprise was office construction, and that it, too, also lost some momentum in terms of its upward trend. But when you look at market fundamentals such as vacancy rates, you know, they are continuing to recede, which should enable rents to go up, and that certainly is a stimulus for more construction. Kind of the category that's always been hard to call is what's happening with retail. And in that particular case, we've been seeing essentially flat activity. And, of course, that's not surprising given the increase that we've seen over the years in terms of online shopping. But by the same token, even though new construction has been fairly flat in terms of new store projects, the renovation side of store construction has continued to show pretty good strength. So even though we're not seeing that much in the way of new store projects going forward, the renovation side, you know, certainly it's a competitive retail landscape, has been fairly healthy, and I think that is kind of a good factor in the overall demand for, let's say, flooring products.
Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to several economists over the course of a year, and some, like the Beaulieu brothers at Trend Research, they're also on your side. They're calling for 16 to be an expansion year, but I've also talked to Cleveland Research, and they're saying, Whoa, this manufacturing output number is already starting to turn down, and this could be the beginning of the next recession. You're not calling for that at all, are you?
You know, I think manufacturing has taken a hit this year, mm-hmm. but, I mean, manufacturing in terms of the overall construction scene is just really only part of the picture. I think when you're looking at the commercial building side, you're talking about, you know, are investors willing to put money into that sector, and that's still taking place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, again, notwithstanding somewhat of the pause in terms of starts that we had in the third quarter of this year, we see the drivers of commercial building continuing to support further growth in activity. The expansion still has legs. One thing that's really been noteworthy over the past several years has been the pickup in school construction bond measures that have been passed around the nation. I think it's an important market to be aware of, certainly going forward as we move into the second stage of this non-residential building expansion.
So you're calling for growth in education as well?
basically, in terms of educational building starts, the increase that we have is pegged at 10% in dollar terms. So that's nothing to ignore. And, you know, it's not just schools. I mean, we're also talking about convention centers or sports-related facilities.
Okay, Bob, I appreciate your insights and outlook. Again, we've been talking to Bob Murray, the chief economist with Dodge Data and Analytics, who is bullish about construction spending in 2016. And you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.